News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Little summer breeze to get your Tuesday started. A lot of folks took yesterday off, so this feels like Monday, I'm sure, but I didn't, and it feels like Tuesday. And you know what that means. Tuesday is the Garden Line with Mayor Mike Wiggins is here with us this morning. We missed you last week, sir.
Well, I missed y'all. I certainly did, but it's good to be back.
It's great to have you back.
And summer breeze. Everybody's looking for a little breeze.
I always forget how hot it can get here.
Oh, sure.
Ooh, but
exactly.
But you know, it is July. It's the middle of July, so this is normal.
That's exactly. No, you're
normal.
Exactly right. And we all know what to do.
That's right.
We either jump in the pool, we jump in the golf, we do something to cool down.
Or we jump on the couch in the air conditioner.
Now that's a good. That's
option
a good
three.
Point. Good point. But you know what we have to do?
We
have to protect ourselves.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, we all of us are working the yard. We all do that. And you've got to, use some sunscreen, wear a hat.
Yep.
Just drink a lot of water, do what you have to do, maybe early morning, maybe late afternoon.
Really don't need to do it at noon.
At noon.
I saw somebody running across a 3-mile bridge at noon, and I thought, that's just insane. Concrete, the heat. Oh, my gosh.
I remember back in my running days.
Yes.
When I was really young and really stupid. I did a lot of running.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And I'd get out there at noon.
I
was young. It didn't bother me.
Correct. I also had the crummy shoes. We didn't have all those fancy Nike shoes. That's why I ended up having knee surgery years later. I was running around in kids.
You and me both.
Running around in kids.
Exactly right. So in any event, it is hot. Be careful. Don't overdo. Once again, we're usually this time of year, we're not out there planting a lot of stuff.
Right.
We're protecting what we have. And of course, one of those things is water. We've had these thunderstorms come through, which is good, but keeping in mind that those thunderstorms, many times it's a quick hit.
Right.
A quick hit. A lot of times it'll rain and it'll run off. So what we need rain-wise, if we're going to have it, is some long, slow rain. That's what's really going to help us.
Mm-hmm.
So since you can't have the long, slow rain as often as you would like, we've got to water.
Right.
And that's where we really have a little argument, if you will, with some of the experts who will tell you, no, don't water that much. Don't overwater. Let your grass tell you when it needs watering. We've talked about that on the Garden Line. I don't totally subscribe to that one. It's this hot, and these thunderstorms are few and far between, and they don't last long. I think watering on a schedule is good. Now, you can always turn off your sprinkler system if we get into that long, slow rain situation. But I do think you need to be sure you get enough water on it. Because I'm not sure the experts, when they start talking about this, realize how sandy our soil is.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, we always say we don't have soil here.
Right.
We just have sand.
Right.
And it's just, woof, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So in any event, just get out there and get that water. Because the last thing we want to do is to lose that investment we have in all our plants and our shrubbery and our landscaping and our turf. Just because we didn't get enough water.
And don't forget the container plants.
They dry out quicker.
Right. That's what I noticed this summer.
Yeah. Exactly. Because I've told you, I've got a signal plant.
Mm-hmm.
My bush daisy always is the first one to show a need for water. As soon as it shows it, then you better water everything else.
Well, I told you about the Irish. My Irish grandmother used to say, watch the leaves, because the leaves will turn up.
That's right.
For the rain.
That's
and
right.
then tell you, oh, you know it's going to rain because the leaves are got their little cells
go.
Turned up like cups to
How
get
cool
the catch rain.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that, but mine are more like gasps. My plants are gasping most of the time.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway, do pay attention to the water because we do need to protect what we have. Later in the show, as we get some time, we can talk a little bit about some other things that we need to do this time of year. As opposed to planting new plants. So you need to be very aware of what's going on because in Pensacola, not only can we suffer from the dryness, but you have all kinds of disease and insects that really want to crop up this time of year. And we have to pay attention to that. And maybe before the show's over, we can talk about some of those things to observe that need treatment, if you will.
Okay, this is Pep Talk and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, and we'd love to have your text. And we've got a phone call this morning. Nathan is on the line, who has a question for you, Mike. Nathan. Can you hear me okay, Nathan?
Good morning, Nathan.
Yes, I can hear you. Okay. Sorry about the echoey. I'm in Bluetooth right now. So
that's okay. What's your question?
I have in my backyard, I had zoysia put down, and it's great, except for now I'm getting some spots of torpedo grass. How do I get rid of and isolate that torpedo grass?
Well, let me put it to you this way. We talked about this. I want to say 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about this, about the problem with torpedo grass, which is, if you had to pick the number one bad actor when it comes to weeds, torpedo grass is the one. The only way to do it, to treat it, number one, is use your pre-emergence weed control in November and February. But I know that doesn't help you right now. I would not go out there and try to spray it with a selective weed killer, like a broadleaf weed killer, because number one, it's not a broadleaf, it's a grass. So the only way to do it, in my opinion, you don't want to hear this, Nathan, is one, hands and knees, try to dig it up. But when you dig up torpedo grass, you'll see that the root system, it looks like a bowl of spaghetti. It's big white roots, and if you leave one little bit, it's going to come back. So the other way to do it is really radical surgery, in my opinion. You isolate the spot, you spray with a product like Roundup. Keeping in mind that Roundup now has a new formula to it. And then it's going to leave a spot dead. It's going to kill whatever zoysia is real close. Then you have to replug. But that torpedo grass is really hard to do. So, one, either dig it up or use what we call a non-selective weed control and then repair with new sod. But that really is radical surgery. You don't want to go digging up your pretty zoysia grass, because it has been a great grass for Pensacola. And, of course, once you get it out of there, just do everything you can to make that zoysia as healthy as it can be so it kind of chokes out future torpedo grass. Nathan, I'm not sure that's the answer you want to hear, but that's kind of what I've got.
Well, so I wanted to hear what you had to say, and that lines up what I was thinking, because somebody else told me, they said, well, if you take some Roundup, put it in a Tupperware container, cut one of the ends of the torpedo grass, and then actually stick it inside, so it's going to actually drink up that Roundup and just close up that lid and just let it sit out in your yard for a couple days. It'll actually soak up that Roundup and it'll isolate and just kill that one sprout. I don't know if
that sounds reasonable. No, number one, that sounds very interesting. I've never seen anybody do that. But, yes, I don't know if you would have to cut off the top. You want as much surface area on that weed as you can get when you put Roundup on it. So, but using the Tupperware container and all that does sound very, very interesting. There used to be a product on the market. I don't know if they have it anymore. It was a long tube, and at the end of it was a small sponge, and that you would put the Roundup solution, the diluted solution, into that tube, and then you would kind of just go right over the weed with that sponge. So just like what you're talking about, you would isolate the weed from the zoysia grass. If you can do that, that's great, because that's what you need. If you put a Roundup on it, Roundup is very systemic. It just means that it works through the plant into the root system and kills the roots. So if you can get that Roundup or whatever non-selective herbicide you use or just on the weed, then you've accomplished maybe what you want to do. That's a good idea.
Okay, guys, we got to take a little quick break. Go ahead, Nathan.
Thanks.
Okay.
I'll give it a try and I'll call you back.
I wish you would.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Nathan. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. 850-437-1620. Text in your question and we'll get to it as quickly as we can on The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Our expert, as you know, every Tuesday on The Garden Line is Mike Wiggins.
I want to follow up on our first phone call.
Yes, sir.
I really enjoy hearing these new ways to handle different gardening situations.
It's great. It's a collaboration of solutions.
A Tupperware with a little hole in it to go after the torpedo grass is so interesting.
Yeah, I love it.
And Nathan, he promised he'd let us know how it worked.
He better. He better text us and let us know if that worked.
My last word was, be careful.
Right.
Because if you get that Roundup on other things. However, one last thing.
Yes, sir.
If you're going to go after your weeds like that, using Roundup, the best time of the year is to do it right now.
Oh.
The hotter, the better.
Okay.
When you're using those non-selective weed killers, because it just works better. You do that same little trick at Christmas time, it ain't going to do much.
Okay.
It ain't going to do much. But right now is the perfect time. Just be careful.
Okay, great. So thank you, Nathan, for calling in with us. We got Chester on the line. Good morning, Chester.
Chester,
you're
good
on
morning.
The air.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a comment about, is the torpedo grass also referred to as buffalo grass?
I think it's different. I believe it's different. I've never used it called it buffalo grass. I think it's different. Torpedo grass is
okay,
it's been around for so long, and it's just so hard to control.
Okay.
I don't know. I got that. My mother's yard full of zoysia last year, and I did what you said. I did your technique, and then I resodded with zoysia, and I'm happy to report that this year there is no more of that grass.
That is great. That is great, because one of the problems is it tends to come back if there's any root left. Yeah.
Okay, Chester, what's your question?
I've got a couple questions. Now I've got the torpedo grass in my yard in East Hill, and I have a herbicide called Celsius.
Okay.
So what do you think about that Celsius? Is that going to take care of it?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And I don't think you want to really use Celsius in the hot weather. I think that's more of a September, October type spray. Some of those selective weed controls like that in the hot weather can be like a blowtorch. Now, I always tell people, if they've got a problem like the torpedo grass and you just really have got to get rid of it, experiment. Take a small section of the turf. Go ahead and use the Celsius and see how that works. And if it works, great. But if it does damage to that other, then your test section, I really would hold off. I think it's just kind of dangerous. As a matter of fact, when it comes to all weed killers, other than these non-selective ones that like Roundup, I just like to put them on the shelf until we get to a little break in the weather, which we're not going to get until we get into probably October. You can try.
Okay.
You can try it, but be so careful and realize it could cause some damage.
Okay. Now, I transplanted a very large camellia a couple of months ago.
Good.
And it was a big tree. And this is back in March, so it was still fairly cool. And it had just stopped blooming. And I kept water on it. I mean, a lot. I had a hose dripping on it all the time when it wasn't raining, and it still has green leaves, but I've noticed.
Oh, we lost the call.
No.
Oh, goodness.
No.
Okay, Chester, give us a call back. We lost the call. Sorry about that. 850-437-1620.
Chester did get,
most of the question in.
Most of the question
in. Here he is.
He's back. Okay. Let's listen and see what Chester has to say. Okay, here we go. Okay, Chester.
Okay, Chester, you're on.
So I transplanted this large camellia, and it seemed to be making. I kept water dripping on it, but the green leaves are slowly turning brown and dropping, and now where it once was very full, now it's very thin. Do you think it's going to make it?
I would say I'd kind of flip a coin on that one. If you're transplanting camellias, even if you do it in the cooler weather, it can be difficult. As you know, because you did it, they have an extensive root system. Now, if you're transplanting an azalea, that's different. Very shallow, very easy to dig up root system. But camellias are tough. I would say you definitely have the problem of just plant shock. You've done a great job on the water. But sometimes when you dig up those larger plants with those extensive root systems, sometimes you can really have problems with just plain shock. And remember, we've gone through a drought, and now we've gone through some of them just unbelievably hot weather. And those two things probably affected that camellia. That's a shame. I would be tempted. I don't normally recommend this. You might want to prune it back a little bit. Just see if you can reduce the amount of foliage that is fed to by the roots, and see if that works.
Last question.
Yeah. Okay. I got one more thing to add to that too.
Okay. I've got a real nice boxwood hedge, but I want to move part of it. I was going to do that this winter, and it is very shallow roots.
Yeah.
So I should have success with transplanting that in the winter, right?
You absolutely should. Now, let me direct you to a product that I think is still available. Fertilome made it. It's called Root Stimulator. What it does, you mix it when you got the hole, you're digging your hole, you got some peat moss in there for organic material and water retention. The Root Stimulator does just what it says. It helps stimulate new root growth. Easy, real inexpensive. Buy a pint jar of it, mix it up. But check with Werner Turf or Larry at Pensacola Seed and Garden and see if they still have that product available, because it really will help. And you're right, waiting till the winter.
And that's while smart. You're at Werner, one of our listeners, Steve, texted in and said, I use a broad leaf weed killer, and it's on my zoysia, and that's called Fahrenheit, and he gets it at Werner's.
Very good.
Okay, we've got to take a break, Chester. Okay. I hope we answered your questions
this
morning.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, this is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We will be back in just a couple minutes right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And we're back with the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. If you have a question, text it on in at 850-437-1620. We will do our best to get to all your questions. And we do have another half hour of the show, so we'll be breaking in a minute for news. But we can get those questions in now. We'll try to get to them in the next half hour.
Well, we are ready.
We are ready.
We are ready to go. We are live and in color this morning.
Yes, we are.
As opposed to last week when we... We're not.
I know, but it still was a good show because we talked a lot about summer watering and all the good things you got to do to keep your lawn alive.
Absolutely. You know what we might want to do, if we have time in the show today, is maybe go through just a few of the checklists for August.
Yes.
That's something, obviously, we're all worried about. But like we talked about earlier, it's really, we can go through that, but still... the big deal is to protect what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful with the weed killer.
Right.
Just don't do it unless you're like Nathan and we've got this new method with the Tupperware.
That is hilarious. I'm still
loving that. I'll tell you, that is absolutely cool. But be careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some things we need to do in the lawn. And, of course, we have a text or so coming in on how to treat blueberry bushes.
Yes, we've got a couple good texts.
That's a great question. And so we've got a lot to do in the next half hour.
Yeah, we've got some questions about vegetable gardens, blueberry bushes, and some other things. So we're going to be sure and get to all of those as best we can right after the news. We just have about a minute left. What's your best advice for watering right now?
Water in the morning.
In the morning.
In the morning. Water just on. If you're going to go on a schedule, remember our schedule here on the Garden Line, 3 days a week, 30 minutes at a time, water in the morning, because if you water at noon, it's just going to evaporate and go away. You've wasted your water.
Right.
If you're going to do it at night, sometimes that promotes fungus. And so you just need to do it early in the morning. Well, how early? I know some people do it at 4.
What?
5. They've got the automatic system. Don't get me wrong.
I was going to say, no wonder I'm not a good gardener. No wonder my garden doesn't grow.
Yeah, set that alarm, Meg, for about 4 o'clock.
Yeah, no.
Turn that sprinkler on. Exactly. But that really does help your lawn if you stay on that schedule, in my opinion.
Okay. And you know what? We all love all of your opinions because you are the gardening expert, sir. No question about it.
I hope we're sometimes right.
You are most, 99.9% of the time. Mike Wiggins is right. We'll be back. And if you've got some questions, please do text those in at 850-437-1620. We're here every Tuesday. And we have a repeat broadcast on Saturday mornings, too. So stay tuned for Garden Line coming up next after the news on Pep Talk. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And as you know, every Tuesday at this time, it's time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We have lots of questions to get to, so we're going to get right to it. And if you have a question for Mike, just text it on in at 850-437-1620. Clint texted in about his blueberry tree. He says, "Our blueberry tree is huge. And listen to this, Mike, about 9 feet tall and 7 feet wide. Can you imagine? That is a huge blueberry tree. We harvested about 12 pounds of berries.
Wow.
The tree is bare now. What should we do to help it through the rest of the year and to help it continue to grow?" And that's from Clint.
Well, what I would suggest, Clint, is whatever you've been doing in the past,
clearly,
keep it up.
Clearly.
You've done a great job. You know, you can always.
12
pounds. Oh, yeah, that is great. A little fertilizer, here. I know it's really hot, but on the blueberry bush, it's a little light, very light around the entire drip line. A slow release, granular, really one that's labeled for vegetables would be great. You want not too much nitrogen, but that's good for the plant. I would do that. You could do some very selective pruning, but I think I might wait till to the winter season to do that. Otherwise, it's a one-word deal.
Mm-hmm.
Water.
Okay. Now I know how to do that.
Exactly. But it's obvious that this tree has been well.
I guess
Has been taken care of very, very well. But that's all I do. A little light fertilization. Be sure you keep the water to it. If it does show some signs of stress from this heat, don't rely on your sprinkler system or even the hose. Other than take that hose and drag it out and put it at the base of the blueberry tree and let it dribble for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets way down into the roots, and that will ensure that you're getting enough water. But I think a little fertilization, keeping up the water, very little selective pruning, and you're in business. I think. But really, if you have harvested so much off of it so far, you may just want to keep on doing what you're doing.
I know, and I'm kind of curious whether that blueberry tree is in the shade or in direct sunlight.
I'm going to wager it's in semi-shade, semi-sun, I should say. Mostly sun.
Okay.
Mostly sun. You know, blueberry bushes sometimes I think are underestimated as a great plant to plant.
I haven't heard that many. I always hear about the citrus here, but I haven't heard that many people talking about blueberry bushes.
Well, one thing about blueberry bushes, one thing some people do, it's interesting, he's obviously grown this, I'm going to just kind of
he's
call
a tree.
It kind of a specimen blueberry. Mm-hmm. But some people keep a low hedge.
Oh,
in other words, you've got, if to separate you from the neighbor, you can plant a little, a blueberry hedge and kind of keep it pruned at the height where you want it, but it still produces. And so that's what's new. And be sure to talk to your local nurseryman about the best varieties. There's some varieties that need pollinators, in other words, need a second tree or second blueberry, and they can give you all the information on that. So that's what I would do.
Okay, great. Great question. If you have a question for Mike on the Garden Line, just text it in this morning to Pep Talk at 850-437-1620. Okay, here's another one for you, Mike. My vegetable garden is overtaken by nutsedge. I haven't heard of that one before. What can I do to safely get rid of it without causing issues with the vegetable plants? I have given up! Exclamation point.
I understand. nutsedge is nutgrass, nutsedge, whatever you want to call it, is another one. It may be number two past torpedo grass.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of our problems. Now, how do you know if you have nutsedge? If you break off the stem, it's a little low-growing weed. It's not a tall-growing weed. Break it off and rub it between your finger and thumb. And if you see there's a triangular-shaped stem, you know you got it.
Oh, dear. Okay.
I have a feeling these folks know that they've got it. There's a product, of course, called Image. Image is a chemical that has been used to control nutsedge. Now, here's the deal that I would like you to check before you even consider the Image. Let's check the label to be sure it could be used close to your vegetables. My advice would be, don't, unless the label says okay to use on vegetables. I don't believe it is, but I would surely check that before I sprayed, which leaves us with one option, kind of like we talked about earlier with Nathan talking about torpedo grass, and that's manual labor. Right. And you know that's right. Tough. And out here in this heat, trying to control weeds in a vegetable garden, man, it is tough. And that goes all the way back to what we said at the beginning of the show. If you do that, you take care of yourself. Plenty of water and a hat and sunscreen.
Knee pads.
All of that stuff.
On the knee pads.
Knee pads. Hell yeah. They work.
I know.
They work.
I'm saying.
You always laugh at that.
No, I'm serious. It's important.
Old men need those knee pads.
So do old women. What can I say?
But anyway, but that is a problem. The nut grass is a real problem because not only in a vegetable garden, but in turf.
Mm-hmm.
It's also in turf also. And that's where you can use the image. But as I said, I really hesitate to use it in this hot, hot 95-degree weather.
Okay, good advice as always. Thank you for texting that in. We were just talking about blueberry trees and bushes, and someone texted in, what is a good mulch for blueberries, Mike?
Well, I'm a big pine straw fan.
Okay.
Anyway, I think pine straw is good. It's readily available, and it will keep the weeds down and the moisture in. However, pine bark is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like the looks of cypress mulch.
Cypress mulch is
a good one. So those three, I think, is what I would consider. But pine straw is good. You remember our new business we like to go to for pine straw?
Yes.
Remember the name of that one?
No, but I know what you're going to... You've mentioned it before.
Lucky's.
There you go.
Lucky's.
I should have remembered.
Lucky's is over on Davis, right up the road south of Bailey's.
Okay.
Not even a half a mile. But good service. And, of course, this is getting... Well, I was going to say down in the weeds, but that's the wrong thing.
That's
the wrong way to put it. But if you're buying pine straw, you want fresh pine straw. Sometimes you buy it, I'm going to say, in a place where it's just been sitting for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It gets all gray and rotted inside.
Kind of moldy.
A lot of sticks in it and all of that. Lucky's looked, I've tried some, and it really has been good, and it looks fresh, and it doesn't have all those sticks and stuff in it. So that might be where I would buy my pine straw. If you were going to buy it.
Okay, great questions and comments coming in this morning. We still have some time to get yours in at 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Here's a comment about Celsius, Mike. Celsius can be used in the morning during the summer as long as the temperature has not reached 85. And I got that from the horse's mouth just recently to be sure I would not hurt my grass. I sprayed it last week at 6:30 a.m. in the Cordova Park area where the temp was about 75. I was treating an outbreak of spurge and doveweed. As long as the temp has not reached 85, you're good with Celsius.
Well, that's good advice. I mean, I still am very hesitant in this weather. You know, we get into the 90s about putting everything on the shelf. And even at that, even in the 80s, I get a little nervous about some of these selective weed killers. But Celsius is a great product. I have never used it in this type of heat.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had success with it, good. That's
great. Sounds like the key is making sure it's cool enough, you've said.
Do it in the morning.
Early
exactly.
Morning, sounds
because
like.
I'll tell you right now, you're after a tough one, another tough one, doveweed. That's a tough one.
I've never heard
that's
of spurge.
That's a tough one. Spurge.
What does that look like?
Spurge is a little small, kind of a circular type weed.
Mm-hmm.
But doveweed sometimes looks like St. Augustine grass.
Oh.
But it's so hard to control. But if that Celsius is labeled for it,
mm-hmm.
which I think it is, mm-hmm. it's on the label to control that, go at it. I just am a little nervous about doing it in this heat. I would love to hear from this person who texted us.
Mm-hmm. I don't have the name for them.
Yeah, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next week. Let's give it a week of that Celsius being on the grass.
Yes.
And see how they did. See if it did any damage. And plus... Importantly, did it affect the weeds?
Right. Did it work?
Did it work? So I would love to hear from them about that.
Okay.
That would be very interesting.
Great. All right. We've had some great questions this morning at 850-437-1620. We're going to take a commercial break, but we'll be back with Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line in just a minute or so on Pep Talk. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We're here with Mike Wiggins this morning having fun talking about gardening in the heat. But it is a hot, hot time, so be careful. And Mike has some great advice about that. And if you've got a question for him, we still got a few minutes left at 850-437-1620. Just text it on in for us.
There you go. Let's talk just a little bit, because we have before.
But yes.
It's really the time to talk about this. Fertilization in this hot weather on your grass. St. Augustine, really likes a summer hit. And it can be relatively high nitrogen as long as it's slow-release granular nitrogen. Sometimes you have to pay a little bit more for the best, but buy the best. It's granular, slow-release, has minor elements in it, and you follow the directions. You know, we always say it's not like playing poker where you can double up to catch up.
Don't improvise.
Don't improvise. But St. Augustine likes that. Mm-hmm. It really does. It's awfully hot, and there may be some of the experts say don't do it. But if you can do it, but you've got to turn that water on immediately. And I would run it for one or two cycles just to get that fertilizer down to where it can go. But that's St. Augustine. Centipede. Forget it. You could use some type of organic material like mill organite, that type of thing, or liquid or granular iron. Ironite is one that you can use if your centipede is looking just a little washed out.
Mm-hmm.
But no high nitrogen product on centipede. It doesn't like it. So just don't do it. St. Augustine likes it. Zoysia can take it too,
mm-hmm.
but I can't emphasize enough how you have to water it. I'd water it for a couple of hours, and I would do that the next day also.
No kidding.
Really, but it really will make a big difference. I had a friend who lived at the beach,
mm-hmm.
Lived over by Villa Sabine, good mm-hmm. friend, and had some of the most gorgeous St. Augustine grass.
At the beach? That's an accomplishment.
But in the summer, mm-hmm. he would use a product called ammonium nitrate.
Oh.
Which, on our long grasses in spring, we use a 16-0-8, whereas 16 is the nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's slow release. He would use ammonium nitrate, which has 33% nitrogen
wow.
and no slow release.
Wow.
And he would use it probably at about 3 pounds per 1,000 square feet.
No kidding.
Probably the best thing you could ever do, and also the worst thing you could ever do.
I know. I'm sitting here thinking, wait a second.
If you overdo it, and he had plenty of water, had mm-hmm. a great sprinkler system. So, but his lawn looked unbelievable.
Huh.
It was just beautiful. But and I credit a lot of it to the type of fertilizer he used, both spring, fall, and that midsummer.
That was his secret. Was the ammonium nitrate?
At the beach, you talk about nothing but sand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. But it worked.
Interesting.
It worked very well. Yeah,
and that's interesting. That's all these little secrets.
Yeah.
Gardeners are like cooks.
Yeah.
My mother and sister never told me the secret ingredient. And it's the same way. Every time we talk on the garden line, somebody calls in with a secret ingredient or this, oh, I always do this. I never heard that before.
Exactly.
And you have a million of those. That's why I want you to write a book.
Well, not me. It's like that blueberry tree.
Yes.
And I don't know what all they've done. Well,
something's going on that is not telling anybody.
That's right. That's right. Because that's...
I've never heard of a 9-foot blueberry tree.
But they're different things. They're different things you can use. They're different strengths of fertilizer,
mm-hmm.
different insecticides, different fungicides. But it's like baking a cake. When it's all finished
mm-hmm.
and if what you've sprayed or fertilized looks good, then, keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
But there are different ways to get there.
Right.
There really are. So
right.
That's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Secrets.
Yeah, secrets. Secrets, I hear you. Okay, all right. Insofar as fertilization, your blooming plants,
mm-hmm.
let's say your marigolds, your vinca, and all of that, not a bad idea to use a very lower nitrogen granular fertilizer, or a lot of people use liquid fertilizers this time of year.
Oh, really?
Like Miracle-Gro. That's right. Now, at 95 degrees, I might hold off on that, but this weather will break.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be this hot for a while. But then as we get into end of July, maybe August, maybe it'll back off a little bit. If it does, a little fertilizer on those blooming plants will help prolong the blooming and just make them healthier.
I'm not sure I've ever heard you mention Miracle-Gro before.
Yeah, it's a matter of fact, we talked about fertilizing roses, which the rose experts, if they're listening, correct me if I'm wrong, will say roses require fertilization once a month.
Oh, no kidding.
Even during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a knockout rose and you're fertilizing it once a month, the first fertilization should be granular
right.
in the spring. The latter, in the fall, you can use a granular winterizer. But in between, you can use a liquid fertilizer, which roses like.
Huh.
And so that's kind of a schedule for roses. But the liquid is good. Liquid's not going to last as long by any stretch of the imagination. But if you're doing it once a month, that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. If you've got a comment, a question, or a secret, text it on
let
in.
Us know. We've heard some secrets today.
And yes, we have.
We love to hear them, too.
We love to hear your gardening secrets.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So the big thing that we've been talking about this morning, and then we're going to remind you one more time, is please, please, please stay hydrated. Don't do your gardening at noon. Definitely get up early, correct, Mike, and get out there before it gets unbearable heat. And the minute you start feeling where you're not sweating and you're starting to feel dizzy and headachy, go inside. Get in a cool place immediately.
I had a friend the other day who was doing some work in a school.
Uh-huh.
No air conditioning in the school.
Oh, dear, yeah.
And literally had a heat stroke.
Oh, no.
I mean, he's okay. I mean, he's okay. Fine. But boy, it's set them down for a while, I'll tell
you right
now.
Yeah.
Because it's dangerous out there.
Yeah.
If you're not taking care of yourself, and there's some things you just don't need to do. And so that's the story.
The humidity will get you. Just be careful.
Heat and humidity together will get you.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we're going to take a quick break,
okay.
And then we're going to come back with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. So if you've got a question for him, now's the time to text it in at 850-437-1620. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. Mike, what you got?
Well, I was just going to say, we've been talking about turf and weeds today. But keep in mind, in this heat and humidity, there are two things, really more than two, but two big things that are going to happen or could happen to your lawn that you've got to address. One is disease. One is bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Which one you go? Where you want to go first, Ben?
Bugs.
That's always been your favorite.
I love to hear about the bugs.
You hate that disease stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Chinch bugs and sod webworms, two of the bad actors.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this probably at length here on the Garden Line, but it ought to be repeated, I think, this time of year. Whereas chinch bugs are going to really show up in your yard as brown spots, probably next to the street or next to the driveways. The reason is, of course, because the turf there is warmer because it's next to the street, and they are very, very tropical. You're going to have brown spots that are going to kind of start growing, and you're going to say, well, my lawn is just dry. My sprinkler system isn't getting to it. But that's not the case. So what you do to see if you have chinch bugs, on the edge of that spot, dig about a 4-inch plug of turf, put it in a bucket, fill it with water, and kind of hold that plug down. A chinch bug is a little black bug, about almost like an ant. And it has on its back, it's gray. They're really wings, but you can't tell that. And if you have them, they'll start crawling up the side of that bucket where you put that plug of grass. You know you've got them. And what you need to do is treat them various ways. They're liquid insecticides for turf. There's some of the good ones, which are easier to use, I think, because they're granular. Spectracide makes a good one, lawn insecticide, and you need to do it and probably repeat it in a couple of weeks, and be sure to get the water to it. Problem with chinch bug damage is sometimes it's hard to recover because they really have attacked the roots of the grass.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real problem. The other one is sod webworm, which is easy to diagnose.
Okay.
You walk out in your yard on a Monday, and it just looks great. You walk out on a Tuesday, and it looks like a goat has been feeding on your yard. The blades of grass have notches in them.
Oh, gosh.
Because those worms have come up at night and have been chewing on those blades of grass. The good news is you use the same thing we used for the chinch bug, but generally that grass will come back because they only attack the blades.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we got to the bugs. I guess we'll get to the diseases next week.
I'll be ready for it. I'll be ready for you, Meg.
You can hear this broadcast again on our News Radio 92.3 website. Go just click on podcast, click on the Garden Line, and you can hear, I think there's about 1,000 or more episodes with Mike on that page.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So listen in or this Saturday.
Oh, I hear you.
You're the best, Mike.
Oh, no, you're the best, man. Go for it.
All right. Thank you so much. This has been the Garden Line on Pep Talk.